Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So I thought I would ask you guys a question about a very fundamental human need, and that is hydration. As we've all heard, our bodies are made up of, you know, mostly water, and it's the one thing it's much harder to go without water than it is without food. And we could probably all drink a bit more water. But I'd like to ask you, Herman and Corin, about hydration strategies for a very specific type of body. So I mentioned that a number of years ago, I had gallbladder surgery, and I'm one of, I guess, a minority of people that have had a really, really hard time after the surgery, I guess, just with my new body. I don't think I can even call it adjusting, because it's been, I think, 6 or 7 years. It's not getting worse or better, but my digestive system and stomach now seem to have their own kind of life, and their decision is frequently to get really bloated. So before my surgery, and whatever went wrong or happened, maybe will always be a mystery to me, but I used to be able to just like drink, I don't know, 1 liter, I think it was a liter bottle, those big bottles, 1 liter of water on a hot sunny day, no problem, and feel great. Now, if I drink a glass of water, I get this really unpleasant feeling that the water is just like stuck, like it's not going down. I get bloated, visibly distended. I look like I'm pregnant, and it's really, really uncomfortable. When I was looking at these kind of online communities, I went to doctors and did all the rounds, and I found these online groups where people talk about their digestive issues, and it seems like it's a pretty common experience for people with gastroparesis, functional dyspepsia, all these things where for some reason or another, the connection between the brain and the gut has kind of broken down a bit. And sometimes, unfortunately, it seems that water is one of the worst culprits for, again, reasons that no one seems to really understand. It's particularly prone to causing that sensation. So Herman and Corin, one of the things I saw in the in those discussion groups among especially people with gastroparesis and serious motility disorder is that there's more ways to hydrate than water. Cucumbers are really full of water, and there's other vegetables, and you can even integrate them into salads and stuff like that. So I really want to increase my water consumption to a healthy daily level, but sometimes it's kind of a very hard reflex to overcome. That when you know that something's going to make you bloated, you tend to subconsciously not want to do that thing. So it's a hard instinct to work around. And that's maybe a question for another episode, because however uncomfortable it makes us feel, we clearly, to keep our bodies healthy, need to give them sufficient daily water. So Herman and Corin, I would love to get your, firstly, I think we've talked about the things that can go wrong with gallbladder surgery, but this kind of weird picture I've been dealing with, and food is just as bad, if not worse. Same story, get really bloated, and doesn't seem to be hugely correlated with fat as well. It just seems that after I eat, my stomach gets really big and I feel uncomfortable. Is there any clarity emerging as to why this might happen after gallbladder surgery? We've talked about bile acids before and how it really changes your system. But secondly, and most importantly, or more importantly for this episode, what could someone in my situation do to make sure that we're getting water from diverse sources, maybe ones that are less likely to cause bloating? And thirdly, we can just touch on this briefly, because it really, I think, merits its own episode. The psychology of it, when you know that something's going to make you bloated, but you have to do it anyway. What are the ways? What would you recommend someone do in order to push through and eat or drink just because they have to, even though you know it's going to make you feel yucky? Herman and Corin, over to you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I'm Corn, and as always, I'm joined by my brother.
Herman Poppleberry here in the flesh. We've got a really interesting one today from our housemate, Daniel. He was asking about something that sounds so fundamental, yet for some people, it becomes incredibly complex, and that's hydration. Specifically, why does drinking water sometimes feel like a burden after gallbladder surgery?
It's a fascinating paradox, isn't it? You need water to survive, but the very act of consuming it triggers this intense discomfort. Daniel mentioned bloating and distension, and he's not alone. It's a common complaint in the post-colon cystectomy community, especially when there are underlying motility issues like gastroparesis.
Exactly. And the gallbladder is such a misunderstood organ. Most people think of it as just this little pouch that you can live without, which is true, you can. But removing it changes the entire fluid dynamics of your digestive system. It's like taking a reservoir out of a plumbing system and expecting the pipes to handle the constant, unregulated flow just as well as they did before.
I like that analogy. So, let's dive into the why first. Why would water something that doesn't even need to be digested in the traditional sense cause severe bloating and discomfort after the surgery?
Well, the first thing to understand is what happens to bile. Normally, your liver produces bile and the gallbladder stores it, concentrating it until you eat something fatty. Then, it squeezes that concentrated bile into the small intestine. Once the gallbladder is gone, that storage tank is missing. The liver still produces bile, but now it just drips continuously into the small intestine.
Right. So you have this constant trickle of bile acid. How does that affect the stomach's reaction to water?
This is where it gets interesting. Bile acids are actually quite irritating to the lining of the digestive tract. If they back up into the stomach, which is called biliary reflux, it can cause inflammation or gastritis. When you drink water, especially on an empty stomach, it can further distribute those irritating bile acids or even trigger the stomach to contract in a way that is painful because the lining is already sensitive. Additionally, pure water is hypotonic, meaning it has a lower concentration of solutes than your blood. In a sensitive or inflamed gut, that osmotic pressure change can actually cause the cells in the stomach lining to swell slightly, triggering pain signals.
But Daniel also mentioned gastroparesis and motility disorders. In those cases, the stomach isn't emptying properly. Normally, water should pass through the stomach very quickly, right? Like, within 10 to 20 minutes?
Usually, yes. Water is typically the fastest thing to leave the stomach. But in people with motility issues, the stomach muscles are sluggish. The pyloric sphincter, the valve at the bottom of the stomach, might not be opening correctly, or the stomach itself just isn't churning or pushing things along. When you add water to a stomach that hasn't cleared out previous meals or is just generally slow, you're essentially adding volume to a container that's already full or under pressure. This is often called water loading, and it can be just as painful as eating a large meal.
And that leads to that visible distension he mentioned. It's like the stomach is being stretched beyond its comfortable capacity, even if it's just a glass of water.
Precisely. And there's a sensory component here too. The nerves in the stomach wall, the mechanoreceptors, might become hypersensitive. This is often called visceral hypersensitivity. So, even a small amount of distension from water feels like a lot of pressure to the brain. The brain receives a danger or discomfort signal for a volume of liquid that a healthy person wouldn't even notice.
That makes sense. But why water specifically? Daniel mentioned that water seems to be one of the worst culprits. You'd think a smoothie or a soup would be harder to handle because they have more stuff in them.
You would think so, but water has some unique properties. First, there's the lack of solutes. Pure water can sometimes feel heavy or hard in the stomach compared to liquids with a bit of solute in them, like an electrolyte drink or a diluted juice. This is because the stomach doesn't always recognize pure water as something that needs to be processed, it just sits there. There is also the temperature factor. Cold water can cause the stomach muscles to cramp or spasm, which is the last thing you want if you already have motility issues.
Interesting. So, if the plumbing is struggling with bulk water, Daniel's question about alternative hydration becomes really important. He mentioned water-rich foods like cucumbers. Is that a viable strategy for staying hydrated without the bloat?
It is actually a brilliant strategy. It is often referred to as eating your water. When you consume water that is bound up in the cellular structure of a plant, like a cucumber or a piece of watermelon, it is released much more slowly as the food is digested.
So it is not just a sudden dump of volume into the stomach.
Exactly. It is a time-released hydration system. Think about a cucumber. It is about 96% water. But that water is surrounded by fiber and nutrients. As your body breaks down the fiber, the water is released gradually. This prevents that sudden distension of the stomach wall that triggers the discomfort. Plus, you are getting electrolytes like potassium and magnesium, which actually help the cells absorb the water more efficiently.
What are some of the best water foods for someone in this situation? We have got cucumbers and watermelon. What else should be on the list?
Strawberries are great. They are about 92% water. Cantaloupe and peaches are also excellent. On the vegetable side, zucchini, lettuce, and even bell peppers have very high water content. However, for someone with gastroparesis, you have to be careful with the skins and seeds. Peeling a cucumber or a peach can make it much easier on a slow stomach.
I have also read about the concept of gel water or structured water. Is that just marketing, or is there some science behind why thickened or bound water might be easier on the gut?
There is some fascinating research there. Dr. Gerald Pollack at the University of Washington has done a lot of work on what he calls the fourth phase of water, or EZ water. EZ stands for exclusion zone. In the context of nutrition, the idea is that water in plants is in a more ordered, gel-like state. Some people find that adding a little bit of chia seeds to their water, which creates a mucilaginous gel, makes the water much more tolerable. It changes the way the water interacts with the stomach lining and slows down the transit time just enough to prevent that heavy feeling.
That is a great practical tip. So instead of a big glass of plain water, maybe a small glass with a teaspoon of chia seeds allowed to soak for a bit.
Exactly. Or even just adding a splash of fruit juice or a pinch of sea salt. It changes the osmolality of the liquid. The stomach often handles liquids with some caloric or mineral content better than pure distilled water because it recognizes it as food and processes it through the normal digestive channels rather than just letting it sit there.
Let's talk about the psychological side of this, because Daniel brought up a really poignant point. How do you overcome the psychological barrier of avoiding food or water when you know it is going to cause pain? That sounds like a recipe for a very stressful relationship with basic survival needs.
It is a form of conditioned taste aversion, but for everything. When your brain learns that action A leads to pain B, it is going to do everything in its power to stop you from doing action A. It is a survival mechanism. But when action A is drinking water, the mechanism becomes maladaptive. You end up in this cycle of dehydration, which actually makes motility worse, which then makes the pain worse when you finally do drink.
It is like a feedback loop. Dehydration can lead to constipation and slower transit times, which then increases the bloating when you try to rehydrate. So, how do you break the cycle?
One approach is micro-sipping. Instead of thinking about drinking a glass of water, you think about taking one tiny sip every 10 minutes. It is about keeping the volume so low that it doesn't trigger those mechanoreceptors in the stomach. You are essentially sneaking the water past the stomach's alarm system.
I have also heard that cognitive behavioral therapy, specifically for GI disorders, can be incredibly effective. It is not about the pain being in your head, but about retraining the brain's response to those signals.
Absolutely. It is called gut-directed hypnotherapy, or CBT. There are even apps now, like Nerva, that focus on this. It helps the patient lower the gain on those pain signals. If the brain is constantly on high alert for stomach discomfort, it is going to amplify every sensation. These therapies help the nervous system return to a state where it can distinguish between I am full and I am in danger.
And there is the relaxation aspect too. If you are tense because you are expecting pain, your digestive system is going to be even more restricted. The rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system needs to be active for the stomach to move things along.
Right. If you are in a fight or flight state because you are scared of the water you are about to drink, your body literally shuts down digestion. It is the ultimate irony. So, simple things like deep belly breathing before and after a small drink can actually physically help the stomach muscles relax and accommodate the liquid.
I think it is also important to acknowledge that this is a real physiological issue. Sometimes, when people have these invisible symptoms like bloating after surgery, they feel like they are being dramatic because the gallbladder is gone and the surgery was a success.
You are hitting on a major issue in post-surgical care. There is actually a term for it, post-cholecystectomy syndrome. It affects a significant percentage of people. Some estimates say up to 40%. It is a catch-all term for lingering symptoms like Daniel's. Often, it is a combination of bile acid issues, changes in the gut microbiome, and those motility shifts we talked about. Acknowledging that the plumbing has fundamentally changed is the first step toward finding a new way to manage it.
So, for someone like Daniel, the strategy might be a multi-pronged approach. Use water-rich foods to get a steady baseline of hydration. Switch to structured or electrolyte-enhanced water in very small amounts, and maybe look into some of those brain-gut techniques to lower the anxiety around drinking.
Exactly. And don't forget the physical position. Some people find that drinking while standing up or walking slowly helps gravity assist the stomach, while others find that reclining on their left side, which is the natural curve of the stomach, can help with emptying. It is a bit of a trial and error process to see what your new body prefers.
It is interesting you mention the left side. I have heard that for acid reflux, but it makes sense for motility too.
Yeah, the stomach is shaped like a letter J. When you lie on your left side, the exit to the small intestine, the pylorus, is actually pointing slightly upward, which might seem counterintuitive, but it allows the stomach to settle in a way that can reduce pressure on the sphincter if there is a lot of gas or bile reflux involved.
Let's go back to the water-rich foods for a second. Are there any potential downsides to relying heavily on them for hydration? I am thinking about the sugar content in fruit or the fiber in vegetables.
That is a great point. If someone has severe gastroparesis, high fiber can be a nightmare because it stays in the stomach for a long time. So, if you are eating your water, you might want to lean toward things like peeled cucumbers or melons, which have less tough structural fiber than something like raw kale or broccoli. Juicing is also an option. You get the water and the nutrients without the bulk of the fiber.
And what about the psychological barrier again? If you have reached the point where you are genuinely afraid to drink, at what point should someone seek professional help?
If you are starting to see signs of clinical dehydration, dark urine, dizziness, extreme fatigue, or if the avoidance is leading to significant weight loss, that is the time. There are specialized GI dietitians and psychologists who deal specifically with this. You don't have to white-knuckle it. Sometimes, even a short course of medication to help the stomach empty. A prokinetic can help break the cycle long enough for the brain to realize that drinking doesn't always have to be painful.
That is a good reminder. It is about building a toolkit, not just finding one magic solution. It is the combination of the right foods, the right timing, and the right mindset.
And patience. The body takes a long time to recalibrate after an organ is removed. Even 7 years out, like Daniel mentioned, the system is still operating under a different set of rules. It is not about getting back to normal. It is about finding a new normal that works for his current biology.
I think that is a really powerful way to look at it. It is not a failure of the body. It is just a change in the operating system. Well, I think we have covered a lot of ground here. From the role of bile acids in stomach motility to the benefits of gel water and the importance of the brain-gut connection.
Absolutely. And I hope this gives Daniel and anyone else listening who struggles with this some concrete things to try. It is all about those small, incremental changes.
Definitely. And hey, if you are enjoying these deep dives, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It really helps the show reach more people who might be looking for answers to these weird prompts.
Yeah, it genuinely makes a difference for us. You could find all our past episodes and a contact form at our website, myweirdprompts.com.
Thanks to Daniel for the prompt. It was a great one to dig into. All right, I think that is it for today. This has been My Weird Prompts.
Until next time, stay curious and stay hydrated however you choose to do it.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye now.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.